Oh, hallelujah. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your presence here this morning. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you move in a mighty and powerful way. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds, Lord God, and speak into our hearts this morning. I pray everyone that's here, those that's logged on, I pray we would not leave the same way, my God. And we just thank you once again, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace upon our lives. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church of God says, come on, church, just give Jesus Christ a radical hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you all may be seated here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. Once again, I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Sunday morning celebration service. Like we mentioned before, Key Pastor Charlie and some of our leadership in prayer as they out there right now in V.O. Jacksonville, Florida, doing the work of the Lord. Amen. Well, I have the great privilege to preach my first Sunday morning service. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand for that. And I say that humbly as I can. I thank God for the opportunity. And I want to take this time to thank God for my salvation, for saving me over 12 years ago. There's some new faces here this morning. I'm very grateful that you showed up this morning. We just pray you have a good time here in the house of God. God saved me from so much, so many things, and I'm grateful that God saved my life. Marijuana addiction, alcohol addiction, suicidal thoughts, you name it. I am a product of God's grace. I'm a product of our Victory Home. For many of you that's here this morning, you may not know what our Victory Homes is. They are homes for men and women that we have throughout the world where they could come and experience the power of God for their lives. They could experience what God has for their life as well. Amen. So a little commercial break. If you know anyone that's suffering from an addiction or someone that just lost all hope in life and they want to reclaim hope and respect in their life, we have a Victory Home here in Milwaukee for men. And soon to have one for women as well, by faith, amen. Have them give me a call, amen, 414-252-8674. And we also have a women's home in Rockford, Illinois. So, you know, we got them all over the world, so just give us a call, and we'll be able to accommodate your needs. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I don't have a title for this message. I usually get a title, but I don't have a title. But I do have a subject I want to speak about this morning. And I believe it's something that's very important. Going to be speaking about the area of blessings. I know that we are, or our theme is SOS 200, or I should say 199. Amen. That's right. And keep Bianca in prayer. She leads today for UTC Amsterdam. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ a hand. Amen. Well, before I continue, I want to give honor where honor is due. I want to thank God for my salvation and for the ministry of Victory Outreach, for our founders, our elders, all the way down to my senior pastor, Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene. We have some of the greatest pastors in the world, amen. I want to thank God for you as well, amen, for being here this morning. And like I mentioned, we're going to be speaking about blessings, you know, blessings according to God's word. You know, I believe a lot of times we could have a misunderstanding what blessings are. Financial blessings, all those blessings, they are good. Don't get me wrong, cars, jobs, and all that. But I want to speak about spiritual blessings that we could receive from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, wisdom and peace and joy and all those things. And I believe we all want to have a blessed life here on earth. I believe we do. We all come from all walks of life. I didn't have a lot growing up. You know, I wasn't super poor either. You know, I always had a place to stay. But I didn't know I wasn't rich either. You know, when I got saved, I wanted to become someone that had money and all those good things. And as time goes on, I come to realize the true blessings of God is really the relationship with him. You know, and through having that right relationship with God, God will bless us all those other things, the house, the wife, the husband, all those things. And we got a great example with our senior pastor. You know, he's been blessed with a beautiful home out there in Germantown. Before that, he was staying with the men's home many years of his life, you know, and he set a great example, and he's showing us that when we do our part and continue to serve God and grow and mature in our walk with God, in due time, God will hook us up with those things that our heart desires. But I think a lot of times we get anxious, You know, we may get weary or whatever the case may be. Instead of chasing the spiritual blessings, we chase the physical or things that we could see. And I think when we do that, we miss out on getting the things we need to keep those blessings maintained year on and year out. Even Pastor Charlie said it one time. He was saying that he didn't get the house years before because he wasn't ready for it. And God knew when he gave him the house, he was ready for it. So if he, and this is a man that's been saved 20-some years. It wasn't like he was just saved saying that. You know, he's full of wisdom and experience, but yet he understood that the time of God would come to pass for him to have that blessing. And I believe we got to really understand that. You know, I didn't understand that coming into the church. You know, I eventually got saved and got my own carpet cleaning business, but I come to realize it wasn't the timing of God. And eventually it didn't work, you know. It's something that we got to understand. God, it's like the saying goes, don't put the horse before the carriage. You know, God wants us to get blessings, to be able to keep those blessings and to use those blessings to win over those who are lost and bound. And I believe it's very important that we as Christians learn what blessings are according to God in his word. Now, like I mentioned, physical blessings, they are tied into our relationship with God. But at the same time, we shouldn't spend a lot of time trying to chase those things. You know, we did that in the world. Well, at least I did. I was chasing money and all those things, and at the end didn't work out for me. So now that we get saved and set free, we have to learn how to chase after God and his purpose for our lives. And within that purpose, we will receive blessings of money and a good job and a spouse and all those different things. See, I believe blessings in the eye of human beings is kind of different from what God's definition is in the Bible. And we're going to learn that this morning. We're going to read the Sermon on the Mount in a little bit, amen. I just really want us to understand that. And I believe that's what Jesus was doing with this sermon, to not get it confused. Because I believe sometimes we get saved and we think that it's going to be all peaches and cream. There's going to be no trouble, no turmoil. We're going to have all the money in the world. And I'm here to let you know, this now don't work like that, my friend. It don't work like that. You know, don't get me wrong. Serving God is by far the greatest thing that any of us could ever do. But it's a lifelong and it's sometimes a grueling process. Sometimes we're going to have to learn how to live without being in a home, you know, not just a resident, but even a director. I don't have all the money in the world, but I know I'm blessed of God, you know. And we got to understand that in God's perfect timing, we're going to have the job. We're going to have the spouse. We're going to have all those things. But we got to learn how to follow the timing of God and allow God to bring those things to pass. See, I've seen that a lot of times where men come into the home and get anxious and feel like they're ready to go back out there and just to fall on their face. And some make it for years at a time, but eventually don't work out because they don't understand that the timing of God that God has established for everything to come to pass, it has to take place in order for it to really work. Amen. Like I mentioned, the earthly blessings, like having a job or a spouse, and all those things, sometimes it could become more important than the spiritual blessings. And we got to be careful of that. You know, that at times could take people out of position. You know, getting weary. Like I mentioned, we all come into the house of God. Some of us may have had a little money, some not. You know, and like I said, I didn't come with all the money in the world. So when I got saved and God cleared my mind, I wanted to get a good paying job, something that I always wanted to have, but I really didn't have, and I couldn't maintain it no way. But I come to realize when God brings it to pass, he will honor it. See, we want God to honor everything that we attain in this life. Because the Bible says one day we're going to be held accountable for everything we do here on earth, good or bad. So when we get things we're not ready for, and we're not only messing up for ourselves, but for others, God's going to hold you and I accountable for that. Amen. Let's open up in prayer this morning. Lord, just thank you for this time. Let's just pray, Heavenly Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you move in a mighty and powerful way. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds. We just pray this morning, every word you speak, land on good fertile ground this morning. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We all say, did I pray already? I feel like I prayed already, but amen. Let's go to the opening scripture, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, the scriptures are going to be on the screens before you. Amen. And I believe by the end of today's message, we're going to understand what we should be really focusing on, you know, the spiritual aspect of life. Once we do that, I believe we'll gain an understanding of how to really obtain these blessings. You know, I was anxious, like I mentioned. I wanted to get my own business, and I was doing it right. Got the LLC and all that, but there was a lot of spiritual aspect that was missing. Lack of wisdom, you know, all those things. And I believe that's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ started out with this Sermon on the Mount. Let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read all the way down to verse 11. Then I'm going to break down five of those different scriptures that's in this portion of scripture. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible reads, "One day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them." Verse 3 reads, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." How much realize our need for Jesus Christ this morning? I do. Verse 4, "God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Verse 5, "God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth." Not just some, that's a heavy promise. When we humble ourselves, we inherit the whole earth. Wow. Verse 6, "God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God." Verse 9, "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing the right thing, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." In verse 11, "God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers." Now notice in this opening scripture, not one time did he mention anything about physical or financial blessings. All these blessings that he was talking about were spiritual inner blessings that we could receive. You know, like you said, being humble, you know, being faithful when people persecute us, hunger and thirst for justice, all those things are spiritual blessings. And there's a reason why Jesus Christ brought this up. Now, this was after he was tempted. We all know the story in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. He was tempted by the devil after he fasted for 40 days. This also was after he chose the 12 disciples. Amen. And he just started his earthly ministry. And it's interesting that he started his earthly ministry with this sermon. And it don't say in the Bible, but I believe that there was people in his day that thought true blessings were financial things and things of this world. And he wanted to clear it up. And he also wanted them to understand, if you're going to choose to follow me, I got to give you a true understanding of what blessings are. Now, don't get it wrong. I'm not saying physical blessings are not good things. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that they don't trump the spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings are far more greater than having a good job. Because we got to have wisdom to be able to be a good stewardess with the money that we get from that job, to be a good stewardess while we at the job, and all those different things. So I believe Jesus Christ wanted his followers to really understand that. You know, I know for myself, I neglected the spiritual aspect, you know, gaining the wisdom, learning how to be faithful, and all those different things. And when we neglect that, I believe we can find ourselves having those things in the world, like I said, the physical things, and not using them properly. See, when God saved you and I, he saved us with a purpose. He saved us with a vision in mind. He wants to use us to show those out there who are lost and bound that there is a God, the one true God, which is Jesus Christ. And he wants to do it through every area of our life, the job, the spouse, our relationships. But he can't do that if we're not doing our part. Now, the Greek word for blessings in the dictionary, in the Greek, means, it says, makaros. And this simply means happy. So, in other words, the true blessings of God makes us happy. So, when we bless, that means we are happy. So, we got to understand what really makes us happy. Really, what should make us happy is pleasing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he will hook us up with those spiritual and physical things. Amen. Now, let's break down a few of these scriptures, because I really want us to understand that if some of us here, we may be neglecting the spiritual aspect. I'm not sure. I don't know where you're at, those that's logged on. But if we find ourselves neglecting the spiritual aspect, God wants us to get these in our forefront of our minds. We got to have wisdom. We got to have discernment. All those things are going to help us grow in our walk with God, grow with the blessings we got so that he could use those blessings to continue to build his kingdom. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Let's reread that. Let's expound on that a little bit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, it says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Now, that word realize stood out to me. Amen. Because I believe we got to get to a point where we really realize our spiritual need for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Genesis, the Bible said that sin entered the world. We have a real need for Jesus Christ. And I believe it's not until we really realize where God really could get a hold of our lives. See, it's good to come to church. It's good to log on and hear God's word. But God wants us to get to a point where we really realize our need for Jesus Christ. And what he's speaking about here is someone who knows they are spiritually bankrupt. When I got to that place in my life where I knew I need help, I went to the home. And I knew that was God that led me to that place. I needed that place. You know, and I got to that place where I really realized that. I didn't understand what was going on and what he wanted for my life. But all I knew, I needed help. And we got to really get to that place. And if we don't really, 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 really know that we need help, I believe we can find ourselves really just wasting our time. You know, like I said, it's good to come to church, but God wants us to go beyond just coming to God's church. He wants us to go beyond just hearing his word. He wants to use our lives to reach those that's out there that's still lost and bound. See, Jesus was teaching that once we get to a place within our lives where we realize that we need him to step into our lives, at that point, that's when he could come and save us, deliver us, and set us free and pour his blessings upon our lives. Because he's not going to bless someone that he knows that's not going to do right with those blessings. See, once we get to that place where we know we need Jesus Christ, God will make us happy. I know for a fact that I'm happy today. Like I mentioned, I don't have all the things in the world. See, and we got to connect the dots. See, if I don't have all the things in the world, if I'm not, I don't have all the money in the world, I don't have the finest car, the finest clothes, but I'm happy, that should tell us something, that the spiritual aspect is greater than the physical. Now, that word realize in the dictionary means this: become fully aware of something as a fact, understand clearly. Another definition, to conceive vividly as real. So in other words, we got to become fully aware of our need for Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, we have no spiritual life. The Bible said we are spiritually dead in our trespasses. In Romans, it said that he came when we was dead in our sins, and he died for all of us. And we got to really realize that. So if we're here this morning, if you haven't realized that, I want to encourage you to get to that place and realize the only way that we're going to be able to live a life that makes sense in this world is through a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12 says this. Like I just mentioned, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought forth death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone's sin. So there's no way around it, church. We all sin and fall short of God's glory. So in other words, we all need to repent and give Jesus Christ our life. This is not the words of Jason or Victory Outreach. These are the words of God. So let's connect the dots. We came to the world as sinners. Some of us had blessings in the world before we got saved. We knew those physical blessings only got us so far. Whatever you may have been educated, you had a good paying job, or you may be middle class, or you may be just someone that was just living life. We all know that got us so far in life. And once we came to the realization that we need Jesus Christ to come into our lives, we repented and gave our lives to Christ. That's what I did. I came to that realization, man. I was going to school, didn't graduate, had a decent paying job, but I came to the place in my life I had a void, and I needed that void to be taken care of, and he did that. So I know now the only blessing that I should chase is the spiritual blessings. But if we don't come to that realization for ourselves, I believe we could stay coming to church but still chasing the physical blessings and missing out on the true blessings of God. We got a great example, like I mentioned, through our own shepherd, Pastor Charlie. He didn't chase that house. That house, that was all that was orchestrated by God. You know, we heard the testimony. God uses his father-in-law, Sister Marlene's dad, to bring forth that blessing. That's a blessing, man. That house is a beautiful house. And God used the Victory Home to restore that house, to get to where it's at this morning. That's a physical blessing, but he didn't chase that blessing. He chased the spiritual blessing. That's how he's able to maintain that house. That's a big place. You know, it's a beautiful place. You got animals, a lot of land that needs to be cut in the summertime, plowed in the wintertime. Amen. And if he didn't chase the spiritual aspect, I really believe he wouldn't have been able to maintain that blessing. So we really got to understand that. You know, like I mentioned, we can have physical blessings for many years of our life. But if it's not really glorifying God, it's just simply something that we have. And I have in my notes, it says, the physical blessings will only be of use here on earth, while our spiritual blessings will last us for all eternity. We got to remember, we are on earth for a very limited amount of time. 50 years, 75 years, 30 years, only God really knows that. And what we have here on earth, physically speaking, is going to be left behind when we leave earth. But our spiritual blessings, we could take that, not just here while we're on earth, but in the next life with Jesus Christ. And I have a question here this morning. How many of us truly realize that we need Jesus Christ to be in control of every area of our life? It's something that we got to really realize. I know now that I don't need to be in no control of my life. I know when I had control, I messed things up, and I messed it up bad. So I realize that. But we got to come to that realization for ourselves. You know, many people come to church, and I ain't going to say his name, but one in particular is a good dude, but I know for a fact he's been called to our Victory Home. But yet he's still focused on the physical blessings, the job, the family, and that's only going to take him so far. And he had to come to the realization for himself that it's time to repent and get a hold of God. Even he said it himself. Things was taking place and he could have lost his life. And he wasn't sure if he was going to leave earth and go to heaven or hell. And I said, well, that's a Blues clue that it's time to repent and get a hold of God. But yet he refused to go into the home because he's still stuck on chasing the physical blessings. And we got to be very careful of that, because if we're not saved and we die knowing that we had the opportunity to get saved and set free, we're going to spend eternal life in hell. See, realizing our need for Jesus Christ is just the beginning. Now if you say you realize you need Jesus Christ, now we got to respond to it. You know, we can't just know that we realize it. I didn't just know it. I made a decision. I made that call many years ago, and I called Pastor Jamie, that's now in Jacksonville, who responded to the call out there, and I went into the home. And now I'm here preaching the gospel. Now I'm the home director. Let's give God a praise for that. And it's very important to realize the need for Jesus Christ, because God wants, like I mentioned, he wants to use our lives to reach others that are lost and bound. And once we realize this and we step out in faith and we start allowing God to lead our lives, we will experience true blessings from being obedient to his calling. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. The word humble in the scripture, this is the next thing. Now, once we realize our need for Jesus Christ, we got to humble ourselves and allow him to be in control of our lives. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Now, like I mentioned, once we realize our need for Jesus Christ and we allow him to come into our lives as our Lord and Savior, now we got to humble ourselves, because there's a lot of pathways that God has for you and I to enter into. Like I mentioned, the men's home, the women's Victory Home, the UTC, you know, sister, like I said, Bianca's getting ready to go to that pathway called the Urban Training Center in Amsterdam. The GANG, GANG stands for God's Anointed Now Generation, or simply just getting involved in ministry. There are some of the pathways that God has for you and I to enter into, but it takes us humbling ourselves and allowing God to do so. Not everybody want to go into the Victory Home because they know what that represents. That represents dying to self, giving up a job, doing things a different way. But the Bible says God will bless us when we humble ourselves. So if you're living your life right now, if you know you're not truly experiencing the blessings of God for your lives, I believe it's time for you to humble yourself. Now, once we humble ourselves and allow God to lead our lives down that narrow path, the Bible reads, that few will find, that leads us down to everlasting life, God will use our lives to reach our family members, co-workers, and others for his honor and glory. That's what Jesus did. When he came to earth, he had the whole entire world in mind. We're not just humbling ourselves and allowing God to lead us for ourselves. We're doing it for those that our lives are tied to. And that pathway, it may not be a feasible one. The home is not a place where everybody wants to go, you know. But once we understand that, that's a pathway that God wants to use to grow us, to pull things from our lives, to fill us with vision and purpose, I believe we are able to experience blessings for our lives. See, I thank God for the victory home. It's where I'm learning how to get a hold of God, to work with people. And now, really, a lot of people don't realize God is dealing with me in the home. He's teaching me how to love and how to forgive, and he's dealing with my character. See, we got to understand whatever pathway God wants to use, we must humble ourselves and accept that pathway. Like I mentioned, not everybody want to go into the home. They don't want to give up their job that they using to drink and smoke. It don't make any sense because the job is not blessing you, you know. But yet, we got to humble ourselves and make that decision on our own. And I have written my notes. It says this. The pathway that God has for you and I is designed to get us to the place where we can not only experience blessings or happiness for our lives, but to be used by God to bring blessings or happiness to the lives of others in and through our lives. Some of us got kids and siblings, and God wants them to experience the power of God for their lives as well. And God uses people. And he wanted to continue to use people like us, foolish things of the world, to confound the wise, to be used of God, to spread the good news, to show people what true blessings are. But if we're not doing what the Bible says and humbling ourselves and allowing him to lead our lives, I believe a lot of people can miss out what God has for their lives. And you know, like I said, we're going to be held accountable, church. We're going to be held accountable for our decision that we make. See, God could have chose anybody to be in the house of God this morning. He could have chose anybody to be in a victory home, but he chose us to be here. And we should be grateful, and we should be willing to allow God to use our lives to the fullest. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. There's two words in that portion of Scripture that stood out, hunger and thirst. The Bible reads, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Now, once we realize our need for Jesus Christ, then we humble ourselves and allow him to be in control. We got to stay hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Because we get saved, and as time goes on, if we're not careful, if we don't guard our hearts, we could lose our hunger and thirst for justice, our hunger and thirst for the streets, our hunger and thirst for God's word, for God's prayer. And it's very important that we stay hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Because the Bible says when we do so, we will be satisfied. Amen. We can have satisfaction knowing that God is in control when we realize, when we humble ourselves, when we stay hungry for the things of God. That's why it's very important that we stay prayed up, that we set aside time, that we be intentional with our time, that we don't allow the physical things of this world to keep us from praying every day, spending time in God's word, fasting, bringing our flesh under God's subjection, because when we do so, we can keep our hunger and thirst for our spiritual things growing within our lives. And we all, I believe, I mean, for myself at least, I know I want power for my life, spiritual power. And that's why all those spiritual disciplines is very important that we continue to be faithful to those areas. Because, see, God wants to use us in a mighty and powerful way. He wants us to go beyond just being saved. He wants us to really operate in the Holy Ghost power for our lives. And that's why, like I said, that's why we got to stay prayed up. And no matter what's going on in our life, we stay reading the word of God. No matter what someone may have said, no matter if we're offended, no matter if we're sick, no matter what's taking place, we got to keep those things growing in our lives. Because it's the word of God that's going to get us through any season. It's prayer that's going to get us through those different seasons. It's fasting that's going to get us through those different seasons, church. But it's amazing to see when things take place, some of us do the opposite. Instead of coming to church, we get hurt, we get offended, and we want to quit. You know, the Bible never tells us that it's going to be a perfect walk. We're going to get hurt at times. We're going to suffer at times. We're going to go through tough times in our walk with God. But we still got to remain faithful to our spiritual disciplines. John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14 reads, this is Jesus speaking. He says, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. He ain't lying. I'm thirsty now. Let me take a drink. verse 13, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Talking about the things of God, the word of God, prayer, fasting, spiritual things. That's going to give us eternal life. See, the physical things only get us so far. That's not going to give us eternal life. They're good things to have. I want a nice car one day. I want a big house one day. I want to get married. But none of those things are going to give me eternal life. It's my relationship with God and staying faithful and staying obedient to him. And we got to really understand that. And I have here in my notes, it says this. We must stay close to God. And we must never lose our hunger and thirst for the Lord and for those that's unsaved. We got to keep in mind the unsaved, the others. It's not just about us anymore, church. Once we get saved, once we get the victory, it's about those who are lost and bound. We're not just growing for ourselves. We want to be effective for those that's lost and bound. When we hit those streets, we want them to experience the power of God. Just like Peter in the Bible, he walked past that person and he got healed. We can have that same power taking place in our lives and through our lives. If we believe that, that's why we got to stay feeding ourselves and don't allow the human way of thinking to control us, the lies of the enemy, because the father of lies is defeated. He's a defeated foe. The fight is fixed. We won this fight already. We just got to continue to do our part day on and day out so we can experience victory, not just for ourselves, but for others. Now, let's go back. Let's go to verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 8. Because another thing, we got to keep our hearts right before the Lord. Because in the world we live today, there's so much temptation. We can make money just like that. So many ways. You got so many avenues. And we got to protect our hearts and keep our hearts pure before the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. God blesses those whose hearts are pure. Amen. For they will see God. It's a powerful scripture. We got to keep our heart pure and right before God. Like I mentioned, it's so easy to have our hearts dirty up by the things of this world. And we got to guard our hearts, not just from the world, but really from ourselves. Like I mentioned, that time serving God, it gets hard. Sometimes we may get rebuked or someone may say something wrong, you know, and we may get discouraged, but we got to guard our hearts and keep it pure. And we got to understand our adversary don't want us to experience this. He don't want us to grow. He don't want us to mature. He don't want us to have Holy Ghost power for our lives. And we got to guard our hearts. You know, sometimes I may say the wrong things. I'm not perfect. Maybe a lot of times I'm going to say the wrong things. I'm in the process. You know, and we got to guard our heart. And don't allow what someone may have said wrong to keep you from experiencing the blessings of God for our lives. See, we got to understand the enemy is there. He always lying. He always throwing fiery darts, trying to deceive us, trying to trick us, trying to get us out of position. That's why our spiritual disciplines is so important. Not just knowing, not just hearing God's word, but applying it to our everyday lives. We got to really guard our hearts. Having a pure heart means everything to God. I really believe that. Because when he sees us having, when we have a right heart, he can shape our heart and mold our hearts, and he can use us to be a vessel for honor, for his honor and glory. Having a pure heart, I believe we can see the hand of God move in and through our lives. Because, see, when we don't have a pure heart, God is only going to use us so far. See, he can't use a person. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, in the beginning of our salvation, you know where we at. But we can't stay with the same condition of heart. We got to allow God to soften our heart so that he can speak into our heart. Because he can't speak into the heart of someone that's hardened, that's closed. We want to keep our hearts pure before him so that when we hit those streets and when we live our life every day, he can speak into our lives and through our lives to give us a word for someone that's lost and bound, someone in at the job site, our family. We got to keep our heart right before the Lord. Psalms 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. See, the psalmist understood the importance of having a clean heart. You know, I pray that every day, clean my heart, give me a contrite heart, especially in the position I'm in to be a home director. I got to have my heart got to be right before the Lord, because when we don't have a pure heart, we can't approach God's throne in prayer and expect God to hear us. The Bible says that his ear is inclined to those who do what's right. And the Bible also says he don't hear us when we're in sin, when our hearts are hardened. So we got to really understand the importance of having our hearts right before the Lord. We are not living our lives. I'm saying this again. I may sound like a broken record, but we are living our lives for others. The Bible says, don't only look out for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others, which includes our own family members, our own kids, for us who have kids and nephews and nieces and nephews and so forth and so forth. There's a lot riding on us. I believe there's a lot of people counting on you and I to answer the calling. Loved ones looking up to us, family members, neighbors, they're looking up to us and they want us to respond. And keeping our heart right before God is very important. And I have in my notes, keeping our hearts right with God is important if we want to see God pour out blessings upon our lives. Like I mentioned, if we don't keep our hearts pure for God, he's not going to hook us up. You know, if there's impure motives in our heart, you think God going to hook us up with a high-paying job, with a spouse when he knows that we're not going to do what's right? See, we got to understand the reason why he saved us. He wanted to prove to those who are lost and bound, those who are in disbelief, that he's truly a real God. See, I didn't believe he existed when I was saved. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't grow up in church. And I believe there's many others just like me. Some of them, they may be devil worshipers. They may have got hurt in the past in church. And God wants to use us to help them to understand that he loves them, that he has a plan for their life. He has a vision for their life. He has true blessings for their life. But if we're not doing our part as a church and humbling ourselves, realizing that he wants to use our life, that he don't want to just come to church. Coming to church, like I mentioned, that's a start. Pastor Charlie didn't just come to church. Pastor Sonny, he didn't just come to church. He didn't just start out in Teen Challenge. He grew and he matured in his walk and he became the founder, now our apostle, of a worldwide movement of God. Which shows us that we got to go beyond just coming to church. He realized he needed help. He realized that he got to grow. He realized that God wanted to use his life. And many years later, in his 80s, he's still allowing God to use his life because he realized there's not just a need for himself, but there's a need in the life of others for Jesus Christ. And we got to get past ourselves. We got to get past ourselves. We got to get past what we want. We got to get past what we need and allow God to use our lives. Because even Jesus, he denied himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, can we do this some other way? He didn't want it. In the beginning, he was like, man, look, this is going to be a little difficult. Let's do it this way. But he humbled himself and he said, not my will, let your will be done. And because of that, we are able to experience a life that's free from drug addiction, alcoholism, gang violence, you name it. And we should be willing to allow God to use us in the same way. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Then I'm going to give us five things that will help us to receive the true blessing of God. Then we're going to get out of here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now, that may not sound feasible, being persecuted, going through tough times with God and suffering, but when it comes to receiving the true blessings of God, we got to understand we are going to be persecuted. We're living in the end times world. A lot of things is taking place, and it's only going to get worse, and we got to understand we're going to get persecuted. And just because we go through a time of persecution don't mean that God is not on the throne. God is still in control. He's still good. He still loves us. He still want to use our lives. We just got to understand that's the way it is. We live in a sinful world. And persecution is not forever. It's only for a limited time. Understanding this, I believe we got to understand persecution and blessing goes hand in hand. God's not just going to bless us and that's it. The devil's going to back up. No. The devil's going to come. He's going to bring it, just like he did with Job. But we got to understand who was in control of that. God. He allowed the enemy to bring forth what he brought forth in Job's life. And at the end of his life, the Bible said that he got everything back and then some. So we got to understand that we're going to go through tough times in our walk with God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We family. We got to understand that. And if we do go through tough times, we got to learn how to continue to move forward. We got to continue to learn how to pray and press in and get a hold of God and not do the opposite. Turn our back on God, lose faith in God, and go back out there to our madness. That's what the enemy wants us to do. See, it's through our persecution that God is able to grow you and I. It's through that time of persecution that we are able to gain wisdom And knowledge is not for ourselves, for others that God wants to bring into our lives to disciple and to work with. Amen. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And I have in my notes, when persecution comes our way, we shall allow God to use us to bring blessings to the life of those who are lost and bound. So in other words, go out there and meet the need that someone is hurting more than we are. Because we saved and set free. We got the victory. Just because we're going through a tough time, that don't mean that the world stopped. There's someone that's always way worse than we are. So when times get hard, I want to encourage you. Go and hit the streets. Or call a loved one. Give them a word of encouragement. Pray for them. But don't be stuck and don't think that God is not on your side, because the Bible says God will never leave us nor forsaken us. Amen. Now let's go over five things that will help us to receive the true blessings of God. I'm going to go over these five things, then we're going to bring it to a close. The first thing is having our focus on God and God alone. You got to be God focused. We can't be focused on money. We can't be focused on that significant other. We got to be focused on God and him alone and allow him to bring those things to pass in his timing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2 reads this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on money. Nope. We do this by keeping our eyes on that woman, on that man. No, it says keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. And I have in my notes, if we learn to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ throughout our salvation, it would keep us from being persuaded to put the physical blessings over the spiritual blessings. Very important. Keep our eyes on him, the one that saved us, the one who delivered us, the one who gave us life so that we could be here this morning. And by doing that, we could keep from the enemy from deceiving us, taking our focus on him and putting our focus on the physical blessings. The second thing we could do is have a willingness to die to self. Dying to self. Not easy. Sometimes difficult. But it's a requirement if you want to be that true man of God. If you want to be that true woman, a young adult of God, we got to learn how to die to self. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 reads, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Own way of thinking, own way of reasoning, own way of seeing things, and take up your cross and follow me. I have in my notes, if we don't die to self and what self wants, we will find self getting in the way of how and what we should go after in this life, which will keep us from experiencing the spiritual blessings of God. See, we got to understand self don't really know what it's doing. Self have a certain way of thinking, reasoning, and seeing things. And if we don't die to that, I believe we could keep God from using our lives to the fullest. If we want to experience the blessings of wisdom, being able to maintain a job or your own business or a family, we got to deny self and allow God to grow us and mature us and get us to that place where we could be able to operate in those type of blessings. Praise God. Number three, we must have a willingness to make sacrifices. Also, very important, we got to learn how to sacrifice. Sometimes of our finances, of our time, amen, of our comfort, to be able to experience these spiritual blessings. It started out with our founders. They had kids in their house, and they allowed drug addicts, people from the streets, to come and live with them because they understood they had to make a sacrifice in order for them to see victory outreach where it's at today. Jesus Christ did it. So if they had to do it, we'll make it that we don't have to do it. We got to be willing to make sacrifices within our lives. Luke chapter 9, verse 24. Because this is very important. If we don't catch this scripture, something real, real, real important could happen to us. It says, if you try to hang on to your life, do things our way, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So when we sacrifice our life, our time, what we're doing, we actually gaining eternal life. We actually gaining respect with Jesus Christ. But when we do our own thing, instead of wanting to sacrifice of our time, our finances, our gifts, the Bible says we could lose the eternal life, the eternal reward. See, that's heavy. Because once this world's over with, that's it. Once we die, that's it. Ain't no second chances. Ain't no, this not a video game. Ain't no start button to restart. So if we hanging on to our life, the consequence is we will lose eternal life. And I have here, it says, if we aren't willing to sacrifice our lives in order for us to experience the spiritual blessings of God, we will find ourselves only experiencing limited blessings of God. It's worth it, you know, to be able to have the wisdom and the power and all those things that God gives us. It's worth it. Because we got to remember, B.C., before Christ, when we is in the world, we sacrifice everything and what it got us, spiritually bankrupt. So now that we save and set free, when we do it for God, what's going to happen? We're going to be rich, spiritually rich. It's worth it. Number four, having a willingness to disciple others. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, the Great Commission. We got to have a willingness to be able to work with others. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These are the words of Jesus Christ. We've been commissioned by God to go and work with men and women and young adults. In my notes, I have it says, and we aren't teaching our disciples what they should be chasing after, they will find themselves chasing the wrong things. And I thank God that someone worked with me and taught me what to be chasing, what I should be chasing. It's very important that we work with others, because we could come into church, we could log on, and if we're not taught to chase out the prayer, to chase out the heart of God, we could find ourselves chasing the wrong things. And I did it, you know. When I got saved, graduated home, second phase, got to working, training center, came back, and, you know, and like I was getting things out of the timing of God. It's very important that we stay chasing the right thing, and we got to teach others what they should be chasing. Amen. Number five, we should have a willingness to serve God all the way to the end of our lives. Too many Christians giving up when times get hard. When trials come their way, all of a sudden God is not good. We got to serve God all the way to the end. We want to make it to the end. We got to keep our hands to the plow when times get hard. We got to stay focused. Got to continue to serve God. Because when we do so, we will hear those words, enter my good and faithful servant. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, as we get ready to close. The Bible reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured for simple people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Very important. He went through everything. Got talked about, spit it on, disrespected for you and I. Don't give up. When times get hard, don't give up. And realize, if even if that thought comes, what we're giving up on? We're giving up on eternal life in heaven. No time. That's all eternity. That's it. Heaven don't end. That's everlasting. Just think about that when times get hard and realize what Jesus went through. So for us to be here, don't give up. And I have it in my notes as the worship team makes its way. We must remember all that Jesus went through to get us where we're at today. That should encourage us to not give up in chasing after the spiritual blessings of God. And as we all stand to our feet this morning, I believe we all been brought here to the house of God, not by luck, not by chance, but by divine appointment of God. Those who log on this morning, I want you to stand and join us as well as we get ready to enter into the altar call this morning. And I believe some of us here, some of us log on, you may have been chasing the physical blessings, the job, the spouse, whatever the case may be. And like I mentioned, there's nothing wrong with those things. But if those things are placed in front of our relationship with God, then we have a big problem. Because our relationship with God by far is the greatest thing that you and I could ever experience in this lifetime. I thank God that he saved a man like myself. I didn't have him in my mind growing up. I didn't know anything about him. But he had me in mind. And he knew at the right time I was going to be saved and set free. I was going to have purpose and vision. I was going to be able to get the wisdom and everything I need to be able to have the blessing that I always wanted. The wife, the job, the car, all those things. That's all God wants us to do is obtain the wisdom and the things that we need to be able to maintain those physical blessings. It's fair, man. See, we got to understand how God thinks. He wants us to be successful. He's not a guy who fails. He's not a guy who lies. He's not a guy who breaks his promise. He has a 100% successful rate. Look at our founders, elders. Look all the way down to our senior pastors. Look at what God is doing within this man's life and through his life. Right now out there in Jacksonville preaching the gospel. Right around the corner, that school about to be restored and built and being used for God's honor and glory. He's about to own his own business. He got a beautiful family. Daughter getting ready to go to Amsterdam. And then because he got to a place where he knew what was important, the spiritual aspect. So I want to open up these altars. And if you say you're a person that's been chasing the spiritual, the physical things, and you want to get right and you want to start doing it the right way and chasing the spiritual things, I want to open up this altar this morning. And I want us to get a hold of God and let go. And if you make that conscious decision to chase the spiritual blessings, I guarantee you, you will reap the benefits. The altars are open this morning. Those who log on, wherever you at this morning, make that your altar this morning. And join us as we spend time with God. Come on, church. Let's cry out to God this morning, church. These places, the altar calls a place where God to get a hold of us at. And if you're tired of living your life, chasing the physical things, cry out to God this morning and let him get a hold of your life. Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. So hallelujah. Yes, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, cry out to God this morning, church. Take this time to really press in this morning. And let him deal with your heart this morning. We serve a great God. A God who wants to bless his children. But he wants us to do things the right way. By putting him first. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.